because you asked us to. And we thank you that you invited us to remember you. And our response to you today together, Lord, as we gather, is we really want to remember you. And therefore, we ask you will help us by your Spirit to set our minds on you, the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that if there be any among us who are faint and weary in our minds, that we will consider you who endured such contradiction, such opposition of sinners, and yet was victorious and obedient to the Father. And therefore, Lord, we consider it pure joy today, regardless of where we are in our life and in all our circumstances, to meditate on you and to take this meal together and together with you. We choose to lift up your name, to acknowledge your lordship, and to eat and drink to our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The longest recorded insight that we have into Jesus at prayer. As we come to this communion table today and as we're gathering in this season of prayer, I can't think of a better preparation than to take note of this prayer of Jesus, John 17. We love to look at this every Lenten period, and this is no exception. The words of Jesus. I invite you to, if you can see that, to read with me all together out loud, asking the Lord as we read that these words of his will penetrate our hearts. And Jesus said this together. He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Isn't that an extraordinarily wonderful insight into the heart of Jesus? You can only imagine the affections that must have been in him as he expressed that. John 17, known as the high priestly prayer. But what we need to remember today is that, as the book of Hebrews tells us, his priesthood is permanent. His priesthood is permanent. And one of the great things that the Holy Spirit loves to encourage us with, especially at this season of Easter, is to remind us that one of the great convincing proofs of Jesus' satisfactory death on our behalf and his resurrection is that he continues to make intercession for us. At the point that we choose to intercede for others or pray for the nation, Jesus is making intercession for us. And therefore, when you start in your spirit to catch something of that prayer of Jesus for you and for me and for those who had not yet come to him, you start to catch something of the affection in the heart of the risen Christ, who's now this side of the cross and this side of the resurrection, who knows for sure that everything he's praying is according to the will of the Father, and everything has been settled on the basis of his cross and resurrection for every jot and tittle of every prayer to be answered generously by the Father. As we come to this communion, I want to encourage you once again, encourage you afresh, not only for this communion, but in the season of your life, to please know this, that there's nothing more wonderful than Jesus' prayer list for you. How many of you would agree? And if you ever have any doubt about what to pray for yourself, ask what Jesus is praying for you. That's one sure way of knowing that you are praying according to the will of the Father. Pray what Jesus is praying for you. And therefore that raises the question, what is Jesus praying for you? And therefore in our communion liturgy, I want to take you through, just one by one, just referring you to it, what Jesus is praying for you and for me, and continues to pray. You don't need to turn to it. I have a copy of this prayer list for all of you. When you go to home groups this week, you'll be given a prayer list, the prayer list of Jesus, and the prayer list for your own life, with some meditation space and some prayer list space for you to fill in the specifics of that for your own life and where you're at right now. So you don't need to take notes. Number one, Jesus' prayer that you accept and obey his word. How he longed for us to accept his word. And as we go through this, I'm just going to pause after each one, and we'll take a moment and ponder it. I can't pray it for you. I need to pray that for myself. And therefore, in preparation for this communion, let me remind you that his word is like honey. We've said in an earlier week, sometimes the Bible says his word falls like snow and it gives us a chill and we don't necessarily receive it with the greatest gusto, but its end result is still like the rain to break open our hearts to be fertile for the word of the Lord. And never forget that word comes from a lover. It's always an intimate word. And therefore, as we prepare our hearts and take knowledge of that prayer of Jesus today for us, is there any communication of His to our life? Is there any word to our life that we're ignoring, or that we're neglecting, or that we're avoiding, or that we're disobeying? Do you remember Jesus said in an earlier part of the gospel, He said to people, "You're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word." There is nothing that assassinates the life of Jesus more readily than no room for His word. Are we camouflaging disobedience in our life through our procrastination or our neglect? His prayer for us is that we love His word, that we accept it, and that we obey it. His prayer also for us is that we be assured in our hearts about who He is. His longing is that we have a certainty about who He is, about what He wants to be to us, about what He wants to give to us, that all the inheritance is ours, and that if we ask for bread today, He will not give us a stone. He will not give us a stone. He prays for our assurance in our conviction that everything He's disclosed about Himself is true, and that we won't break His heart by walking away and saying, "It's too good to be true for me," or "It applies to everybody else except," or "It applies to every area of my life except." His prayer is intercessor for us, and you heard it. Did you not capture it all the way through that prayer that we know His Father? He is in such a hurry to get us to Father. Can't wait for us to be in relationship with Father. No special reserve on the relationship, but the whole relationship made open to us. Are you convinced of Jesus' desire to share with you His Father? To show His Father to you? Are you convinced as you come to this communion today in answer to Jesus' prayer? No orphans here. No orphans. Just sons. Just daughters. Do you need the Holy Spirit to convince you afresh of the greatness of the heart of this Father that Jesus has made available to us? His prayer also, verse 9, is that we will know His special and specific care. You know, he says, "You know, I'm not praying for the world at this point." He said, "I am praying for those You've given me." Isn't that a lovely way to be seen by Jesus? Do you know, as He looks in you before the Father, He's saying, "Those You've given me, those ones, them, him, her," because Jesus Himself, who still bears the scarred hands, ascended Lamb of God, always knows what it cost for the him and the her that is me and you. Always knows, never forgets. Are you convinced of that particularity of His care? You may have been lost in your family, and you may feel lost in church life, but you're not lost in the company that's before Jesus at the place of intercession. You're never lost on His prayer list. Never lost on His prayer list. No generalized prayer statements from Jesus, specific, to the point, dividing bone and marrow. Jesus also prays for us that we will live under His protection. Are you choosing to live under His protection? Is that your choice in response to His prayer? Is there any area in our hearts where we are unwittingly or willfully moving ourselves from under His protection? Are there any actions or words that we are responsible for that have exposed others to the work of the enemy? He prays that we will live under His protection, and He will protect us by His name. He also prays, and oh, how He would have prayed this with deep affection for us, that we may have the full measure of His joy, that we experience His joy. Regardless of circumstance, that when circumstance is unfruitful, that it'll be our choice. Joy in the Lord. Consider it pure joy, brethren, when you're amidst so many trials. Do we need the recovery or restoration of His joy? He's praying for us. It's on His prayer list. It's most important that we experience His joy. He's also praying that we be holy and that we be set apart for Him. Love brings likeness, doesn't it? It's distance that brings dissimilarity in relationship. Love brings likeness. And clearly the fruit of our intimacy with Jesus is likeness. Not unanimity. We don't all agree on everything. Not uniformity. We're not all alike. But a unity in holiness. Because we're all being like Jesus. We're all going the same way. Cultivating intimacy. Dealing with any area in our life that is persistently opposing this prayer of Jesus that doesn't conform to God's desire or a sanctifying truth for us. Not allowing things that God has said remove to stay as part of our clothing. He's also praying that we practice and pursue unity together. Open to that work of the Spirit in unity that first changes my heart. Praying for us that we will demonstrate His unity, not just to one another but to the world, and never be a cause of disunity. And He's praying for us that we bring others to Him. How He's praying that? It's impossible to read that prayer without hearing Jesus praying for those who are going to come to know Him. How? Through our message. Oh, what a trust. Oh, what a precious trust He's given us to tell us and let us go. So He is praying actively as intercessor for our witness, for our response to His commission, for our faithfulness and stewardship. He's also praying that we be filled with His love. And I want you to note the wording here. This isn't some soppy feeling good. It's interesting. He said that the love, He says to the Father, that you have for me will be within them. Jesus is not simply saying that, you know, how I feel about them will be how they feel about others. He's saying, Father, that the love you have for me will be in them. He takes us right to the very source of the heart of God. Wow, what an expectation. How many of you know that's bigger than our personality or our temperament? How many of you know that takes care with what doesn't come naturally in our niggardly fleshliness and in the narrowness of our hearts, all jumbled and jungled up with our private preferences and tastes and our prejudices and our personality quirks and our endless hurts that have never been brought to Christ that stop us from moving in the love of God? He prays, verse 24, that we'll abide and live in His presence. What a simple prayer. All he prays is, Lord, let them always be where I am. That's the way to remember it, dear ones. Sometimes we have this view that, yeah, well, we hope Jesus will turn up wherever we are. How many of you know the Lord isn't always present in places we choose to be? How many of you know that? And even His distance is His grace to us, because we know it so clearly it causes us to flee back to the geography that is the presence of Jesus. Oh, to simply be where He is. That's His prayer for us. And then He prays, repeated there at the end in two different phrases, that we will continue to receive a revelation of His glory, because He says, Father, let's get this straight. I have made you known to them. Let that forever be their experience of my knowledge being fresh and my glory being revealed. Why, dear ones? What's the objective for all this? What do we need to remind ourselves about as we come and take bread and wine this afternoon together? Simply spiritual tank-up time? Oh no, the great objective that Jesus sets before us, the great purposes for this praying for us, is one, the glory of God, and two, the gospel to somebody else. So He shares His purpose with us for all of our life. And as we continue in this Lenten season, and as we prepare our hearts for Holy Week, I remind you of the words of Paul to the Romans. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, for me. You know, the Jews who Jesus would have been speaking to believed that the archangel Michael and the angels interceded on their behalf. What joy He must have had telling them about His own prayers for them. What joy in Paul declaring fearlessly to other Jews that there's one greater than Michael here, or the angels, even Jesus Christ, who is touched with our infirmities, who has first experience of our life, of our trials, of our temptations, who knows exactly when he intercedes what we need. For as the writer to the Hebrews says, he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. And so the priesthood that we get a little glimmer into in John 17 is a permanent prayer meeting that goes on in glory. And my name is on that list. My name is on his heart as he continues to pray God's purposes. What does it mean for you and me, dear ones, today? We're not waiting till Easter Sunday to live in the resurrection. It means that he continues now, today, even as we're talking, even as we take this communion, to secure for us the benefits of his death and resurrection, and that he is able to succor those who are tempted, and those who come boldly will find grace in the time of need. And the fact that the risen Christ continues to pray for me and continues to pray for you is a continued evidence that he continues to accept us. He continues to accept us. We cannot step outside his praying heart. How do you pray for yourself? Pray Jesus' prayer for you. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to work in us by his Spirit, to give us such a longing for his will for our life to be fulfilled, that he will etch this prayer list. And you read it and you say, you know, Stuart, that seems so fundamental. Absolutely right. There's nothing minor in Jesus' prayer list, is it? It's a fundamental call to relationship with him and to relationship with his Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's just bow our heads and pray together as we prepare to take communion. You may not know in your life who's praying for you. I don't know how you're praying for yourself. I want to encourage you today, on the basis of Jesus' example, it's utterly godly to pray for yourself. In fact, Jesus began his prayer in John 17, praying for himself. Then he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for those who had not yet come to know him. Regardless of what you think is the prayer backing for your life, I want you to take heart, dear one, today, that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you. You're on his prayer list. You're on his prayer heart. Let's just ponder for a moment. Let's just prepare our hearts to take this bread and take this cup today. Do we love his word? Are we accepting it? Just in your own words quietly, ask the Lord to give you a heart to accept and obey his word. Jesus. We have some special family business, as we always seem to at our times of communion. It's where we love to share and take care of personal needs within our community of faith. Allow me just for a moment to mention one or two practical things for you all. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward, please, and get ready to receive the offering. If you'd come forward when you're ready, thank you, and wait upon us. First of all, some good news this week. Monday, as most of you know, Annie at last went in to have a baby. How many of you know at last? We're getting worried about her. I think she was, nearly 2 weeks, was it? Some of us had the joy of seeing her the same day, and she looked absolutely great, as women do. Ladies, I don't know how you do it. And a gorgeous little girl, 6 pounds, Grace Ann. Petite, just like Annie, and if you know Annie's mom, just right in the female line there, but a real head of wonderful dark hair, just like Kirk. Okay, so we extend to them our love. Let's just take her off. Lord, We give with gladness and with joy. We thank you. Everything is yours, Lord Jesus. We're not giving you something that becomes yours. Everything is yours, and we give gladly in the name of the Lord Jesus, who's done all things well for us. Amen. Amen. We've heard. You can go, guys. Right. don't rush to take the offering. It's bad enough having a pastor who forgets the offering than to have ushers that won't take it. Okay, all right. When he does remember. Okay. Annie is really unwell at the moment. She's pretty well on her back. She has extreme nausea, quite an extreme hormonal reaction. And we are praying that we can cover her during the day and have someone in the home with her. Now, we've already had some volunteers. So if there are any ladies in the church that at any time, any days during the week, whether it's a couple of hours or maybe a morning or an afternoon, that you'd be prepared to give so we can just cover the watch this week just to help them while Kirk's away and take care of her. Would you please see Celia? Celia's my wife. If any of you are new to the church and don't know who Celia? And community matters, Lord, we just pray for Annie right now. And Kirk, thank you for this gorgeous little girl you've given them. And for a safe delivery. Lord, we pray for your touch on her physical body and that you will lift this nausea from her. And that, Lord, these feelings, there'll be no discouragement for her, Lord, and that you'll give a wonderful time with this gorgeous little one as she's feeding her and with her, and that you'll have her sitting up, Lord, and take away the sickness, please, right away, forever, we pray, in Jesus' name. And we pray you'll help us care for her. We pray for Larry in that surgery, Lord, for skill, for the hands of the surgeons, and that you will just, Lord, restore wonderful sight to him in his eyes. And I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual insight and wisdom you've given him. And I pray you will deepen that for him in this time as he's closeted away, waiting upon you and seeking your face. Give him eyes of understanding for your word. Lord, we bring all of our lives to you. You know the needs of our life, Lord. You know what's going on in our circumstances. You know what's happening at work. You know what's being said. You know what's being not said. You know what the checkbook reads. You know everything about our life, Lord. You know aspirations that seem on hold, hopes unfulfilled. Lord, we bring all these things to you. And we put out a huge prayer, one for the other. Lord, we seek the person's good to our left more than our own. We seek the person's good to our right more than our own. Do good to the body of Christ Jesus. Do good to our brothers and sisters. For your glory, for a testimony to how good you are, that will encourage the saints and let the world know who you are. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Count yourself prayed for in that. I was praying for myself. One of the precious reasons we're gathering today is, as I said at the beginning, not just to take communion with one another, but to have some communion with Tom and Charlotte. And I might as well stop now, eh? So we are just going to have a special time now of prayer. I'm going to ask the elders here, Larry and Jim, if you just step forward. Charlotte, Catherine, and Elizabeth, do you mind coming forward? I'll get everyone to shut their eyes so they won't look. It'll be fine. And we've had time together and in exchanging hearts and seeking each other's good in recent days. And the way calendars work and times works, there are days when old things stop and new things start. So today is a day not of closure, of relationship in the kingdom of God or co-laboring or friendship, but it is a special day of closure for Tom and Charlotte. As in response to the requests that they presented to us a few services ago, we have responded as an eldership and as a church family to say, Tom and Charlotte, Anne Elizabeth and Catherine, we want to seek your good more than our own at this season of our life. And therefore, we release you to the will of God for your life and your future in the purposes of God. And for as much as we have big prayers we're crying to God, we know you have them for your life too. So we will ask God to transfer that longing more to your life than we could for our own. So I invite you now, dear ones, why don't we just take hands together? We're going to get an opportunity in a moment to hug on one another and cry on one another and bless one another and just have a precious time of fellowship. But let's just settle ourselves in the presence of the Lord at this table. Just going to invite the elders to pray over them.
Lord, we do count this moment right here and now as a precious moment.
Yes, Lord.
As we come before you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, your Son, we count it as precious for the memories we have for Tom and Charlotte and Elizabeth, for Catherine. Lord, we thank you for their ministry to this body. We thank you, Lord, as a body, that we know more of you because of them.
Yes, Lord.
Because of the grace that you've shown through their life. We acknowledge you in that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not a departure from your kingdom. It's not a departure or a separation in any way. We still have that unity within Jesus Christ, your Son.
Jesus.
We still have the love of the saints, the fellowship of one another. And that will continue on, Lord. It's just a different point in eternity. And we look forward to the day when we are gathered together in that glorious time in Jesus' return.
Jesus.
But we pray over Tom. We pray over him and these studies that you have before him and what you've called him to do and the new areas of ministry in which you've called him, Lord. We thank you for it. For Charlotte, Lord, we pray over her. We pray your protection over her as she's alongside Tom. Lord, we thank you for her ministry gifts, for the many hours of teaching and ministry that she's given to this body. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for her love. For Aunt Elizabeth, Lord, we pray over her. We pray your protection. We thank you for the grace shown in her through you, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for her. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called her to be a woman of God. And we pray that over her. Yes. And for Catherine, too, Lord, we also pray as you would raise her up to be the woman of God that you've called her to be. Lord, we thank you for this family. Keep them together in unity and love under the protection of the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father God, in November of last year, you showed me that I believe what I believe is your word, Lord God, that this year, 1997, would be a year of grace. And every day, Lord God, I see more evidence of it.
Yeah.
We've just heard this morning of a child named Grace, Lord God. Lord, as I hold my brother's shoulder, Tom's shoulder, who in the world could have possibly imagined that there would be any hope for this man, given his past, Lord God? But he stands before us as one redeemed, one who has totally changed, Lord God, from the inside out. I thank you for that testimony, Lord God. I thank you for the grace that you have shown my brother, Tom. And I thank you, Lord God, for the grace that you have bestowed on this family. And Lord, we look to you for your grace on this family as they leave us, and for your grace on us, Lord, as they leave us.
Jesus.
And we look expectantly, Lord God, to you, our only provider. Lord God, I thank you for this family that has blessed each of us so much in so many ways that we could not describe.
Jesus.
I ask your continuing grace on this
Lord,
family, Lord
Amen.
God, your continuing strength for this Amen. Family, Lord God, that their joy might be in you, Lord
Jesus.
God. Father, I thank you for the many evidences we see of that. I thank you for the simple and profound word that Tom has for others. It is your word, Lord God. And I thank you for the power of it. Father, continue to uphold this family.
Jesus.
Continue to show them the way, Lord God. Continue to be a light under their feet. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will open doors, Lord, for them that they don't even imagine at this point.
Yes, Lord.
But at the same time, Lord God, I pray that they will continue to be with us as a family.
Yes, Lord.
And to visit frequently, Lord
Jesus.
God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Tom to pray for us. I've asked him to pray for us today.
Father, we thank you for all these years that we've had together in fellowship, labor in the kingdom, walking together, Lord, in wonderful unity and love.
Yeah.
We thank you for the blessing that you have poured out upon us. I thank you, Lord, for Stuart and Celia, for the other elders and their wives, Lord. Thank you for everyone in the congregation, Lord, each one a walking miracle.
Jesus.
How grateful we are to you, Lord, for your grace in our lives as you've brought us together to walk together for such a time as this.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you personally for all the ways that you have taught me and enriched me and helped me to grow, all that I've learned from so many here, Lord. Thank you for the good that you have poured out upon us as a family. How grateful we are for your grace to us. And Lord, now as we make this transition, Lord, we pray for Christ our Shepherd Church, each one, each person, Lord. Pray for the leadership and for everyone here, oh Lord God, that your blessing would rest and abide upon this congregation, that your presence would continue to be recognized and experienced, and that your wisdom would be made manifest here, Lord. We pray, Lord, that in the days to come, you would bring to pass all the good things that you have planned for this congregation.
Jeez.
We thank you that you're in the midst of doing that even now. We bless you and praise you, Lord, that all your promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you that you have a future and a hope stored up for us as a group, oh Lord, and that you are building the church.
Jesus.
Thank you, the church is the church of Jesus.
Amen.
Not the church of any one group or organization or individual. It's the church of Jesus. And we acknowledge that this is the church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just look forward with great anticipation to what you will do in the days to come. Bless and strengthen the elders, Lord. Lead and direct. We bless you and praise you, Father, in faith and assurance. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let me invite you to stand. Would you stand with me now? Would you just stretch out your hands towards Tom and Charlotte as we pray for them? We're going to do this prophetically. It's hands that bless them in the name of the Lord. Open hands that release them to the will of the Lord. Hands that will be committed to give to them in the fellowship and communion of the saints. Hands that will be open to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we come in your name. We have no other. We come as we are, Lord. We aren't together on these occasions, Jesus. But we come as we are. We come with our joys and our blessings. We come with our sadnesses. We come as we are. But we come with conviction. We come, Lord, in the assurance of your will revealed. We come, Lord Jesus, with the conviction that you have spoken and there are steps of obedience being taken here. We come, Lord, as we've already found out from you that what you do for one will be a blessing to all. You are the Father of us all. So we all come as equally your children around this table, seeking your good for our futures. And Lord, we bless Tom and Charlotte and Anna Elizabeth and Catherine with the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
We're not mouthing words only, Lord. I pray in the spiritual realm for an exchange, a heavenly exchange that will come upon them and into their lives and into their circumstances. That will come, Lord Jesus, like a soft-sounding breeze, but will gather and come and sound like the wind. I pray, Lord, it will scurry into every area of their heart and home. I pray there won't be a corner of their life, a corner of their home, a corner of relationship that is not touched by what you are doing in them and through them. I pray, Lord Jesus, you will brood over them. I pray it'll be their experience in these days that they have never felt your brooding over their life ever as a family, as they have in these days. I pray, Lord Jesus, you will speak with a tender voice, but you will speak firmly and clearly your direction to them and that they will hear that voice behind you. Dear ones, this is the way. Now walk in it. And Lord, we choose as a congregation to take the prayers of their own heart for themselves upon our heart again this day. We have heard what they have shared with us, O Lord. And therefore, we pray for them as a family. I pray, Lord, for Catherine and Anne Elizabeth at this season of their life and their schooling. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will be outstanding beyond their peers. I pray, Lord Jesus, they will stand head and shoulders in their calling, in their walk before you, in their love for you, and how well they do, and the joys of their life, and in the fun aspects of their life, Lord Jesus. Grace them, and I pray that they will be under your protection, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord Jesus, for Charlotte. I thank you for every gift in her. I thank you for her gifts of worship, Lord, and teaching. And I pray, Lord, at this season, I pray again, Lord, that you will deepen that trench even more in her life. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that her heart will be a huge receptacle for your ongoing and continuing affirmation and confirmation of who she is and what you have called her to. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Tom. I pray for him, Lord, as father. I pray for him a blessing as husband. I pray for his blessings as a brother to those in the body of Christ. I pray upon him a blessing as the servant of the Lord, as a discipler of men, as a teacher of the word. I pray your blessing on him. I pray, Lord, you will quicken his mind for study in these days. I pray it simply won't be bookish, Lord, but will be revelation by the Holy Ghost. I pray you'll make connections that will make his spirit buzz with excitement. I pray the joy of the Holy Ghost produced by engagement with the word will be more than he can stand. I pray, O Lord Jesus, that there'll be a rising tide in his own life and in his ministry, and a rising tide in the family that will be like Ezekiel, O Lord, not simply waters to dabble around in. We're not interested in business as usual, O Lord, but I pray you'll raise the tide marks for them in every area of their life, beyond their ankles, beyond the knees where they're praying, beyond their waists, beyond, Lord, their neck. Give them waters to swim in their personal life and as a family. I pray for a buoyancy of the Holy Ghost for them in every area of their life. I pray, Lord, if there be any part where there is a trudging in mire or where there is a stickiness of tread, I pray, O Lord, your river will lift them, please, Lord Jesus Christ, and buoy them to where you want them to be now, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, forever, O Lord. Keep them awash with your love and with your care. And Lord, we publicly treasure every memory. We thank of everyone around us. Lord, we don't know all the reasons you bring us into each other's lives at different seasons. We only want to acknowledge it's you. We only want to acknowledge if there's any grace or blessing, it's you. It's not of ourselves. If there's any grace to release, it's you. And therefore, we call upon that grace right now. Tom and Charlotte, dear Anne Elizabeth and Catherine, we commend to you, precious ones, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you continue to love the body of Christ. May you continue to love the saints. May you continue to have communion with the saints. And may together with us, all of us, never forget the price that Jesus paid in order for us to be together just for a day, let alone these wonderful years. And together we say thank you, crucified, risen, glorified, ascended, Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. We bless you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you, as it does. May he bless you in these days. May he keep you. May he hide you ever deeper in the pavilion of his love, sheltered from anything you don't need in your life right now, and sheltered from the strife of tongues. May his peace be upon you, and may the portion of his peace be so large that there is more than enough to distribute to all who cross your path, as it has been sufficient to distribute as you have walked faithfully, humbly, graciously among us. We love you. We are proud of the work of Jesus in you. we will really miss you. And we want good news of each other for the joint glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Just remain standing. I just want to, you got something there for me, Brent? We've commissioned, as we love to do, a special little something here, which we won't demand where it goes, but we'd like somewhere enough, at least once a day, you have to see it, so you remember us, because we want you to remember us, and we need to be remembered. And it says, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6:24-26, that blessing that we've just prayed on you. And in the middle, in unmistakable letters, it says to you, passions of your heart, go and make disciples of all nations. And that work goes on. Tom and Charlotte, with our love. And if you ever move to a tent, please put it in the tent. And just a little something for you to take home as a little family gift from us. For some fun and preciousness together as a family.
Well, thank you.
And we love you and bless you. And I'm glad we've got some time now for everyone to mingle. And our homes remain open to each other, as they always do,
Yes. Until
Jesus comes. Lord, we say grace now as we meet together to take food, as we share our love for one another, as we share our joys and our sadnesses. We eat in your name. Will you bless the food? Yes. Will you bless the preparers and the partakers? We eat unto you, Lord Jesus, and as we wait on each other, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's just close and worship together.
His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time.
Heaven seem good to look forward to? Bring it on, Lord. Go eat with joy. See you downstairs.